This is Backseat Box Office, episode number 272, for the weekend of September 30th to October 2nd. Hey, this is Jeff.
And this is Art.
And we are the Backseat Producers, and you are listening to Backseat Box Office. Just two guys blathering about movies. Art, how are you, sir?
I am doing fantastic, because I am 2 days out from Sausage Fest.
Yes. Another year of going without me. And I hear from Facebook that you guys are all going to binge watch Luke Cage that comes out on Friday?
Yeah, probably not, but maybe a couple episodes might get watched over the course of the weekend. We'll see.
I don't know. If you guys played Twilight Imperium, you probably could bang it out during the one game of Twilight Imperium.
You know, that is true. That is true. You can make it the whole day.
I'm not advocating that type of behavior because I don't want you guys to burn out for the big party, but yeah. Once again, I'll be with you guys in spirit, and maybe there's a chance I'll be able to catch some of it on Facebook Live. I don't know.
Nah, you know, that's a thing now.
Yeah. Well, according to Tony, if they got to 2000, that he would do it.
Oh, okay.
And I sent a donation in today that I wasn't going to get him to 2000, but I tried. So anyways, speaking of charity, and this isn't really related anything to do with charity or breast cancer awareness or anything like that. Let's just talk about what happened at the movie theater last weekend. All right. So for the weekend of September 23rd through September 25th, here's your top five. At number one, we have new release, The Magnificent Seven. Ended up with $34.7 million. At number two, the other new release, and I feel bad we didn't record last week because I think you would have been all over this movie, Storks, $21.3 million. At number three, we have Tom Hanks and Sully with $13.5 million. A little drop off to number four, Bridget Jones's Baby at $4.7 million. And at number five, we have Snowden. At $4.1 million. Even though it was a close race because Blair Witch came in $2,500 less.
Yeah, that is really close.
But we're getting to the dregs. Saying $4 million's close.
Bridget Jones tanked hard. I am looking at this and that is bad. 2 weeks in, $16 million on a $35 million budget.
Well, okay, so if you want to look at all three, Bridget Jones' Diary had an opening of $10.7 million, ended up bringing in $171 million. At number two, we had Bridget Jones' Edge of Reason, had an opening of $7 million, eventually brought in $40 million. At number three, Bridget Jones' Baby opened at $8.5 million, so they're only off $100,000. Even though, if you want to look at the theater count for the opening, it's like a factor of six, 530 for number two, 2,927 for number three. So, I don't know what to say. Maybe it hasn't released in Great Britain yet. Here's hoping.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. That seems really soft. I would have expected more for that type of legacy third movie. Like I said, it's pretty niche.
First one was 2001, second one was 2004, third one was 2016.
Ah, that's a big gap.
Yeah. So, yeah. Take from that what you will.
Yeah. Well, what do you think about that Magnificent Seven opening? I mean, yeah, it's number one, but it just doesn't seem like a lot, $34 million.
You know, I don't know. Is it a great time to have a movie come out?
No, I don't think particularly. We're kind of out of summer, but we're not into the holiday season yet.
Yeah, so, I mean,
school's back in session.
Oh, let's look at opening weekends in September. All right, so according to Box Office Mojo, biggest openings in September Hotel Transylvania 2, 48 million. Hotel Transylvania, 42 million. Insidious Chapter 2, 40 million. Sweet Home Alabama, sorry, Tony, $36.7 million. Sully at number 5, $35 million, and Magnificent 7 at $34 million. So it still ends up being number 6 in a sample of, oh my God, it keeps going, 200 movies.
Yeah. No, that's...
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's just not a good time for movies.
Yeah, I mean, my daughter's doing club water polo, and my son... Anytime that I say, do you want to go to a movie? And it's all, can we play D&D instead? We do D&D. So I want to go see Magnificent Seven, but I'm not getting buy-in from the family.
Right. Right.
And so, yeah, I don't know. All right. So with that dead air, we will move on over to what's coming out in the theater this weekend. So Art is going to start with one of three movies that are coming out this weekend.
Okay, we are going to kick off with Deep Water Horizon. Rated 82% fresh on its tomato meter, 96% want to see it. On April 20th, 2010, one of the world's largest man-made disasters occurred on the Deep Water Horizon in the Gulf of Mexico. Directed by Peter Berg, Lone Survivor, the story honors the brave men and women whose heroism would save many on board and change everyone's lives forever. Rated PG-13 for prolonged intense disaster sequences and related disturbing images and brief, strong language. Genre action and adventure drama, directed by Peter Berg, written by Matthew Michael Carnahan and Matthew Sand. Runtime 99 minutes. We have Kurt Russell, Mark Wahlberg, Kate Hudson, John Malkovich, Ethan Suplee.
That's funny, Ethan Suplee, because we just watched My Name is Earl last night, and he was in that. Yes. Also, Gina Rodriguez from Jane the Virgin. I think that's her.
Okay, I'll take your word for it.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know about this one.
Yeah, I don't have any particular interest.
I mean, I'm looking at director credits for Mr. Berg.
The reviewers like it. I mean, 82% fresh. That's not nothing to sneeze at.
Lone Survivor, Battleship, Hancock. Even though that was 2008, so he's a little selective.
Yeah, I really enjoyed Hancock, and Battleship was not as bad as I expected it to be. Is that a compliment?
No.
What do we have next, sir?
Okay. All right. Yeah, he might cut you off the knees if you ever said it to his face. All right. The next movie is more of a comedy. We have Masterminds. And currently, the tomato meter is not available.
No. I see that.
If you have something, an emergency, please leave a message and I'll get back to you. Of the Rotten Tomatoes users, 22,271. We 96% want to see it. So here's the description. In this action comedy based on true events, directed by Jared Hess from Napoleon Dynamite and Nacho Libre, David Gant, I thought that was producer. I got thrown off. David Gant, played by Zach Galifianakis, discovers the true meaning of adventure far beyond his wildest dreams. He is an uncomplicated man stuck in a monotonous life. Day in and day out, he drives an armored vehicle, transporting millions of other people's money with no escape in sight. The only glimmer of excitement is his flirtatious work crush, Kelly Campbell, played by Kristen Wiig, who soon lures him into the scheme of a lifetime. Along with a group of half-brain criminals led by Steve Chambers, Owen Wilson, and an absurdly faulted heist plan, David manages the impossible and makes off with $17 million in cash. Only problem is he foolishly hands the money over to this wild group of double-crossers and has been set up to take the fall. With the bandits blowing the millions on lavish and ridiculous luxuries, they leave behind a glaring trail of evidence. Now on the lam and in over his head, David must dodge the authorities, evade a hilarious hitman, Mike McKinney, played by Jason Sudeikis, and try to turn the tables on the ones he trusted most. PG-13 for crude and sexual humor, some language and violence. The genre's comedy, directed by Jared Hess, written by Chris Bowman, Hubble Palmer, Emily Spivey, And this little nugget from Relativity will cost you 90 minutes of your time. Other cast not previously mentioned: Leslie Jones, Kate McKinnon,
Ken Marino.
Ooh, Ken Marino. Interesting. Well, no reviews to really read. So yeah, I don't know. I don't know where to go from here.
Ken Marino, I remember from what was the basically the Bachelor spoof.
Oh, I know which one you're talking about. I don't remember what it's called, but he was like a fireman and
instead of so
rose,
funny.
It was hose.
Yeah.
Will you accept my hose?
Yes.
You go, yeah. No.
That was so good. But anyway.
Yeah. All right, on to the third film coming out wide release.
Okay, last but not least, we have Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children. Rated 63% fresh on the tomato meter, 98% want to see it. From visionary director Tim Burton and based upon the best-selling novel comes an unforgettable motion picture experience. When Jake discovers clues to a mystery that spans different worlds and times, he finds a magical place known as Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children. But the mystery and danger deepen as he gets to know the residents and learns about their special powers and their powerful enemies. Ultimately, Jake discovers that only his own special peculiarity can save his new friends. Rated PG-13 for intense sequences of fantasy, action, violence, and peril. Genre kids and family, science fiction and fantasy, directed by Tim Burton, written by Jane Goldman. Runtime, 127 minutes. Starring Samuel L. Jackson, Eva Green, Judy Dench, Rupert Everett, Terrence Stamp, Allison Janney, Chris O'Dowd.
As a Butterfield from Ender's Game.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And all the rest of the kids.
Yeah. I think you got to be a Burton fan to want to see this one.
I am a Burton fan, yeah, and yeah. Brittany at one point really wanted to read this book. She never actually did. I went all over the place looking to buy it because it was right when it came out and it was hot, and I went to like three different stores and I tracked it down and got it for her, and then she didn't read it. But no, I'm not bitter.
Yeah, well.
I think we'll end up seeing this. If there's a whole list of things that I would be doing this weekend if I was not going to Sausage Fest. So by the time this drops, Sausage Fest will be done and over. But I know Tony Mass still listens, and so I during share time, I will list all the things that I could be possibly doing this particular weekend.
Yeah, so the three answers are Sausage Fest, Sausage Fest, Sausage Fest.
No, they're not. There's okay. A lot of really good things, and it's just killing me.
All right, so that's going to end our little look. Well, with three movies, our big look at the three movies coming out in wide release, and we use that term loosely this weekend. So now let's move on over to share time. So this is where Art and myself and any voicemailers will share what they've been watching, listening, or however other ways of spending their time. So we're going to start off first with Tad's voicemail. We're going to let it rip.
Hey, Backseat Box Office, this is Tad calling in. Hey, just wanted to comment a little bit on what I've been watching and things like that. So you guys were talking last week about Stranger Things. I burned through that whole series in about, probably 3 days. It was really good. I really liked it. I was kind of hesitant at first because I was kind of billed as like a horror. I'm not really into horror, but I would call it more suspense than horror, really. I mean, I guess there is a monster involved, but one of the things I really liked about it was that it was set in October 1983, and in October 1983, I was 13. I was in junior high, just like the kids in the movie, and those kids in the movie were me and my friends, just playing Dungeons and Dragons all the time, and just, it could have been us. And so that was one of the things I really liked about it. Art mentioned Dan Carlin's Hardcore History. I've been going through that podcast too. It's really great. And Dan Carlin actually has another podcast he does that kind of deals more with current events called I can't even remember what it's called now. But he's got another one too. that's pretty good that I like. All right. Yeah, that's it for now. I'm going to get caught up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the last season, so then I've got the next season starting to record. So hopefully I'll be able to get through that and then be able to watch it in real time. But I'm kind of excited about Ghost Rider being on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I want to see how that's going to go. All right, guys. Thanks for the great show. I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you, Tad. Yes, Stranger Things. I'm glad that you are enjoying as much or maybe more than I am. Also, glad to hear that you are a listener to or listener of Dan Carlin's Hardcore History. And he does mention his other podcast, which Tad failed to remember the name of. It was Common Sense. And, you know, I am also looking forward to the new season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And it seems like no one I know keeps up on that. Are you caught up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
I am not caught up.
Okay, there, thank you for proving my point. All right.
Yeah, I know.
So,
Robble.
So from that apparent high point, Art, what you been doing the last 2 weeks?
Okay, so, well, just going back onto Ted's voicemail, I'm really glad that I was able to turn him on to Hardcore History, and I am totally going to go check out the Common Sense podcast, because, like I said, I really, really enjoyed that. They're on episode 52 or 53, and it only went back as far as, I think, like 49, but they're like 4 or 5 hours each, and I burned through it in like a week because I was just pounding them down. It was just really good. So I'm glad to hear there's something else. I'm definitely going to go check it out. Continuing on the podcast bent, I am working my way through something called the Geek History Lesson. And it's a guy and a girl. They're both really heavily into the comics industry. But every week they take a particular topic, whether it be a character or a TV show or maybe a book, and they really dig deeply into the history of it, you know, the highlights of it, and, you know, any recommended readings, like in the case of a character, like, you know, Batman, you know, which graphic novels you should go out there and read to really get a good sense of the character. And it's a really good show. I'm enjoying it a lot. I think there's like 125, 130 episodes. I think I'm on somewhere in the 80s. So I'm working my way through that and really enjoying it. Let's see. So I have started Stranger Things. I'm 3 episodes in and thoroughly engrossed. I cannot watch it fast enough. It's really good. It's just showing more and more how much Netflix is taking the ball and running with it. So I'm really enjoying that. I'm trying to get Brittany to watch. I'm like, you need to watch this. You would totally love it. She's like, yeah, Netflix keeps recommending it to me. I'm like, because it's right. I sat down and watched, I don't know if you remember this. Do you remember a movie called Osmosis Jones?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a, I remember the previews for it. I remember thinking it was interesting. I wanted to go see it. Nobody wanted to go see it with me. I picked it up on DVD, I think for like a buck or two on a clearance bin. I'm like, I always wanted to see it. So me and Aubrey sat down and we watched it. There was actually a lot more live action to this than I thought there was. I thought there was like a setup and then maybe like something in an end. But the two stories are really told very concurrently. It is not a fantastic movie. I was very entertained by it. I like the art style that they chose. I thought they did a good job with it considering how old it is. The cast was really kind of interesting. You had Chris Rock, Lawrence Fishburne, David Hyde Pierce, William Shatner, Chris Elliott, Bill Murray. I mean, they had a very large cast in this. And I enjoyed it. Aubrey enjoyed it. She actually watched it twice already. And so if you have any interest in seeing something like that, the whole premise is I don't even know how to explain it. It's about a guy who is not living a very clean life, and he is eat something that he shouldn't. It's going to make him sick. And it's all about his body's immune system. The actual animation is inside of him, characters who play white blood cells and medicine. And it's actually kind of funny and entertaining. So yeah, Osmosis Jones. And then at share time, I'm talking about Sausage Fest coming up in just a couple of days. And just like in the last 2 days, you know, I've seen all these things. They're popping up this exact same weekend. It's opening weekend for Miss Peregrine's, which I think Brittany would absolutely enjoy. We're not going to see that opening weekend because I'm going out of town. The yearly Dallas toy show is this weekend. One day only, happening on the 1st. Not going to go do that. I think they do these twice a year, so it's not as bad. But Dallas is where Half Price Books got its start. Their flagship store is just down the road from me. And twice a year now, at least, since I've been here, I think they've done it twice. Maybe they've done it three times since I've been here. So maybe it's quarterly and I just missed one. But they do a huge, giant warehouse clearance sale. Everything is $2 or less. And the last time we went, I just get so many things. It's a great sale. It's happening this weekend. I feel like there was one other thing. Oh, Plaid Hat Games they are sending out all of their pre-orders for Seafall. And they asked for volunteers to come in and help them pack games to get all their games sent out. And you get store credit, you could get a copy of Seafall. And that's happening this weekend. So, because I managed to get hooked up with a group that they call on for volunteers all the time. And, so that's also going on this weekend. So lots and lots of things packed into this first weekend of October. But I'm very happy to be going to Sausage Fest, be making it after, 2 years of not being able to go. So yeah, that's my share time. What do you got going on, sir?
Okay, nothing as interesting as what Art is going to be doing, or has done, or going to be doing this weekend. One more year where I regret not going to Sausage Fest. I always look forward to hearing the recordings after.
The aftermath.
You know, even though I'm sure there are things that are not remembered. Okay. I wrote on a little scratch pad all the things that I watched, and I got 8 things down. All right, so I'm going to start with a couple movies from the DVR. Forced myself to watch The Second Purge. So I don't even know if this is the right name. Purge 2 Anarchy.
That sounds right.
So now there's more revolution type stuff going on during this purge business that's going on. To me, the movie is carried by Frank Grillo. If you don't remember who Frank Grillo is, he's a guy who was in Winter Soldier, who ended up having a fight scene with Falcon at the end. And he's also in the very beginning of Civil War as Crossbones kind of thing. I enjoy his work. I think he's got some charisma going on, and it's an interesting story. But it basically, with what happens and some of the things that all the, you know, some of the rabbit holes that they go down, it's really just a B movie that probably should have been on Sci-Fi. But now I've seen 2 of them. Now I guess I have to check out Election Year. other than Grillo, you know, nothing to really write home about. All right, there's my ring endorsement of Purge Anarchy. Okay, second movie. I'm always in the market for a ridiculous comedy, and I found one. This is For a Good Time Call. This is a story about 2 women that went to college together, and they kind of have to move in together because one of them loses her job. I just forgot the other girl's name, but Ari Grainer is in it. She's been a character actor in some things. She was in Bad Teacher. I enjoyed this movie. So I kind of got away from explaining the premise here. So they have to move in together, and Grainer is a phone sex operator. And so the other one, who I think it's Lauren Miller, or she ended up being married to Seth Rogen. Okay. So she's married to Seth Rogen. But she has more of a business mind, her character does. And so they end up starting their own phone sex business together. And in New York, two ladies just are making, no pun intended, hand over fist, money at this phone sex line. And then the parents show up, and you know, nothing is really too surprising, but I, you know, it was a cute diversion that, you know, for an hour and a half. And I enjoyed it. And I will say this, and parental advisory coming up, folks. If you want to see Kevin Smith or Seth Rogen fake pleasure themselves on the big screen, this is the movie you want to see. It's funny. But yeah. All right. Oh, and speaking of Ken Marino, you also get to see him rub one out in this movie, too. I think he's funnier than the other two. But anyways, you're welcome for that. Okay.
Thanks.
Now let's move over from the DVR to Netflix. Yes, I finished Stranger Things. When I first started, I got Goonies. And then when they find Elle, it switched over to E.T. And then towards the end, it switched over to Buffy. So there's a lot of homages to me in this series. And I was a little underwhelmed at the ending. But it's still a great watch. As usual, can't wait to see what they're going to do in season two. And you're three episodes in, right?
Yep.
So, okay, we'll talk more later about that. The other thing is something my daughter made me watch with her. And I've seen all these already because they showed reruns on IFC. Freaks and Geeks.
Oh, yeah.
Freaks and Geeks. Oh, my God. It still boggles the mind that, you know, if you've seen it, it's about two groups in high school, freaks and geeks. Most of the guys in the freaks, huge movie stars.
Yeah.
James Franco.
Yep.
Jason Segel and the aforementioned Seth Rogen. The geeks, not so much. Martin Starr, he's been on other TV shows. He's on Silicon Valley right now. And Sam Levine, he's more of a podcaster nowadays, so he hasn't really done anything. But, you know, this goes right behind Firefly as a show that should have gotten more than one season.
Yeah, and it's still available on Netflix.
Yeah, well, that's where I watched it.
Oh, okay, I thought you said somewhere else.
Stranger Things and Freaks and Geeks, we got off at Netflix.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, now let's get over to broadcast television. All right, so three shows, two new ones, I'm sorry, one new one, and two shows that I've watched from the beginning, but they just have new seasons. All right, so the new show is The Good Place, starring Kristen Bell and Ted Danson. And it's going to remind you of, if you saw the Albert Brooks movie, Defending Your Life.
Mm-hmm. Classic.
There's another one of Something Dead. I can't remember what it was, about the girl who got hit by the deorbiting space toilet.
I don't remember that one.
All right. Well, she ended up being a reaper, so she had to collect souls for the afterlife kind of thing. Anyways.
Oh.
Something Dead?
Dead Like Me.
Dead Like Me. Okay. All right. So The Good Place is about one interpretation of what happens when you die. And one thing that caught my eye is that this was executive produced and directed by Drew Goddard, who did Cabin in the Woods, which had another meta plot, another thing with like a meta plot that I really enjoyed. Anyways, okay. So The Good Place is about what happens when you die. So the universe keeps track of all the good things you do and the bad things you do. And if your number or your quotient gets up high enough, you get to go to the good place. Otherwise, you get to go to the bad place. There's a real funny scene where they list out an example of all the things you, all the points you get for doing good things, like letting people into traffic, being nice to your sibling. Some of the bad things are pretending some disaster has a direct correlation to your life, or if you use Facebook as a verb. And so we find out pretty soon that Kristen Bell isn't who they think she is, and she deserves to go down the bad place, but she isn't going to tell anybody about it. And that's the setup, or that's the premise for this comedy. So it's a little silly and farcical, I guess. But I think they're up to episode 4. I've only seen the first one. So, you know, it kind of tickled my fancy a little bit. And I like Ted Danson and I like Kristen Bell. So I'm going to give it a shot. Okay. Season 3 of Rebels premiered over the weekend with a double episode. It's going to be interesting. I don't know if I like the voice characterization for Grand Admiral Thrawn. Because as usual, they always have voices, you know, not the voices that I had in my head. But,
right.
But, you know, Grand Admiral Thrawn is there. And we do get some confirmation about where they're going, you know, because there are some things that happen in the season finale of last season that you don't know if some people were still going to be that way or are they alive? All this other kind of stuff. There were some good surprises in this premiere. And the X-Wing player in me, I was really happy about some of the subject matter in this premiere of Rebels. And I've heard rumors that this is going to be the last season of Rebels because they're getting closer and closer to A New Hope. So I don't know. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. This is, you know, one of the shows I watch with my son, and we're both very excited about, you know, where it's going to go. It's always nice having more Star Wars, even though it seems like every episode we get a pull in more and more canon from Clone Wars.
Right.
Kind of thing. And when we got confirmation that Forrest Whitaker's character is actually a character that's on Clone Wars, they're actually doing that in the live action movies too. So, a show that was alluded to by Tad in his voicemail. I caught the premiere of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. More the same, even though I like how they visually Ghost Rider looks pretty cool. I don't know. I don't have any foreknowledge of, I guess, the Robbie Reyes this version of Ghost Rider. But I'll be interested to see where they go. And since they killed Agent Carter, I don't know how much pressure they're under to maybe this might be the last season of Agent S.H.I.E.L.D. Who knows? Who knows with Marvel? Okay. One last thing. Speaking of little obscure sitcoms that only got one. Well, not that Freaks and Geeks was obscure, but there was a show on Fox a couple years ago called Traffic Light. And it was basically about, it was a weird name, and I think it came over from the BBC or from Great Britain. Basically about a couple that's married and has a kid, a couple that are living together, thinking about getting engaged, and then they have a single guy. Nothing too revolutionary or groundbreaking, you know. It's almost the same setup as Rules of Engagement, but I really like the cast. If you're fans of You're the Worst, Aya Cash plays the girl in the living together arrangement, and I just enjoyed the dialogue. It had good writing, but anyways, you can find it on Netflix if you're into catching it. I think there's 13 episodes, so I'm gonna try to catch all that, and I really enjoyed it, and I was sad it was got canceled. Okay, so there's my long-winded chair time.
All right,
so now let's move on over to news, and I don't have a whole lot of news, Art, so okay. Feel free to go two at a time.
All righty, well, we have a Pacific Rim 2 casting update. So I know we talked about how it's getting solid and it's moving forward, and we have confirmation on some actual names who are definitely going to be in it. So we had rumored that John Boyega was going to be in it. He is now, as, I guess, as confirmed can be. He's locked down. He's basically going to be playing the son of Idris Elba. So I thought that was interesting. We've got Scott Eastwood, fresh off his run on Suicide Squad. So he's coming over. And then we got Jing Tan. So they feel like they're very much lining up the formula of the lead characters, you know, with the white guy, the black guy, and the Asian girl. So now they have the white guy, the black guy, and the Asian girl. So they filled their main slots. So they talk about a few other names. Kaylee Spani, and Levi Maiden, Adria Arjona. Mm-hmm. So she was in Person of Interest and in True Detective Season 2. So I thought that was interesting because I know True Detective was really blowing it up there, especially the first season, not as much the second season, but I still heard good things about it. Let's see. Most interesting, they've got Ron Perlman coming back, reprising his role. So I thought that was
sweet.
Yes.
Yeah, he was, that was a, his character. I enjoyed his scenes in Pacific Rim.
And, and Max Martini will also be reprising his role, but like I said, not as good as hearing that Ron Perlman was coming back.
Right.
So, second story I found interesting. Hayley Atwell would like to at some point be able to reprise her role as Peggy Carter. That caught my eye because of you. You know, she is out of the MCU right now, you know, with her funeral and all taking place. But she would like to see, you know, she's not beyond the realm of possibility to see her come back because she had such a long life and there's so much time between the 40s and now that you could cover many other subjects between now and then. I was listening to, like I said, this geek history lesson.
Mm-hmm.
And they got to talking about the Ant-Man movie and how they talked about how Hank Pym had been active in like the 60s and the 70s as like an undercover superhero agent, blah, 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 blah. And so they speculated, on if they could go back and tell more of that story. And going back and telling more of that story would give them an opportunity to, you know, cover what was Peggy Carter doing in the 60s and the 70s when she would have been in her 50s. So I thought that was interesting. So what do you have, sir?
Well, you know, one thing that I'm kind of been thinking about is that we've all been teased with Infinity War, which is going to be the third Avengers.
Yes.
But where are we going after that? You know, I don't know. To me, ever since the first Avengers, the quality of the Marvel movies is kind of incrementally going down, just because, you know, they're getting more and more confident and they're taking more and more chances. So I don't know. I don't know. It's going to be interesting because maybe after Infinity War that our original Avengers will no longer be in movies, you know, cause, I don't know how much longer Robert Downey Jr. is going to do it. Chris Evans, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
So, well, sometimes it's good that we don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I think we've talked about before that they have contingency plans that if anyone gets uppity and wants more money, that, you know, they have no problem casting someone else.
Right.
Kind of thing. So, yeah, it'll be interesting.
That would really hurt the franchise, though.
Would it, though?
I think it would. I really think they've got a solid cast that I think monkeying around with it too much, I think could impact the Witcher, call it.
Okay. Well, that will segue into what's pretty much is going to be my only news story. Well, I got a smaller one, but this is a big one. And I got reminded of it because there was a tweet that showed up. And so there's a tweet from a gentleman He's the editor of BoxOfficeGuru.com. His name is Gitesh Pandya. That's closest I'm going to get. Today, Suicide Squad will join the top 50 all-time domestic blockbusters list, bumping off Iron Man in the process.
Nice.
So I mean, obviously you have inflation to go with it or other factors. So I had to make sure about this. So according to Box Office Mojo, he is indeed correct. Suicide Squad at number 50 is at 318,584,857. Which is about 172,000 more than Iron Man. It needs another million to get to 49. But I didn't think it was doing that well. But we kind of talked about in the box office results part that, you know, this is kind of a dead part of the year box office wise. Maybe a lot of people are just, you know, are still discovering Suicide Squad.
Right.
Okay. So
now. And remember, we talked about how Suicide Squad was putting up numbers that were very comparable to Guardians of the Galaxy.
Well,
Hold on to that thought. Sure.
Hold on to that thought because I have more. Okay. Now, just as a basis of comparison, that was domestic. If you look at the worldwide grosses, Suicide Squad is still number 79. So it would have – where's Iron Man at? I don't see Iron Man, so I'll – my little friend, Control F. There's only one Iron Man in the top 100 combined. So, wow. Does the internet overseas did more? Okay, anyways. All right. So, yeah. So, 70 worldwide. Okay. So, the main reason I was thinking of this is that Forbes... There's a writer from Forbes, Scott Mendelson, who had an article, Suicide Squad, Warner Brothers did everything right except make a good movie. The first thing he hits is that Suicide Squad, the soundtrack, went gold. Can you name a Marvel movie that had a gold soundtrack other than Guardians of the Galaxy, which I just thought of?
Right. I was going to say, Guardians of the Galaxy did pretty well.
Yeah. But apparently, you know, it's still making, you know... pretty good money. I mean, it's in the 70th in the 70th ranking, even though it was almost, I don't want to say universally panned, but, you know, it's got a 22% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Right.
But, you know, all the people that actually made the movie did not do a great job, but the marketing team did a great job. I mean, because obviously it still made money.
Yeah.
It says here they sold the hell out of Margot Robbie's Harley Quinn.
I'm sure.
And they successfully positioned the film as a Will Smith star vehicle, and also trying to capitalize on Batman/Joker interest.
Yep.
So everything that could have gone right for Suicide Squad went right regarding financial reception. Heck, was $732 million and counting worldwide. We can argue that had the film played in China, it might have matched the... 773 of Guardians and 782 of Deadpool.
Right.
And, you know, the idea that Suicide Squad potentially could have made money more in Deadpool, that hurts me. That really hurts me. But, so if they do change the cast of Avengers, I don't know, at this point, there might be a built-in audience. I mean, they're not going to hit billion. They're not going to hit a billion probably. But you know, it almost seems like comic book movies, as long as it's Marvel or DC, are bulletproof right now.
Yeah, to some extent. Like I said, I when we had that last talk about the comparison, I don't think it's going to have the same long tail. But early performance, like I said, was comparable to Guardians. The problem is, it was not as strong a film. I think it with a little more tweaking, it could have made do and been better.
This might be just a case of if you're not really sure, don't release it during the summer.
Yeah. And I think part of the thing shooting in the foot is DC's unreasonable expectations. You know, every comic book movie needs to be $800 million to $1 billion. Well, that's just not going to happen.
Yeah. I think more than just the numbers. we want Marvel money.
Right. Right. You
know, which is basically saying the same thing.
Yeah.
But if the next Marvel movie ends up making 1.2, 1.3, that's what DC is going to go after.
Right. You know? Exactly.
So I kind of wish that there wasn't a rivalry between these two companies, that DC should just make their movies. I mean, because as far as DC rushing to get to Justice League, they were the first ones to make a movie about villains.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to their stab at this type of movie. So we'll see. All right, Art, what you got next?
All right. Next up, the Hot Wheels movie is still happening. So this caught my eye. I like cars. Click. I like driving. Click. Oh, nice. okay. So Hasbro is still lining up their properties. They're still working on Max Steel is hitting theaters next month. Master of the Universe has slowly been making progress, and a live-action Barbie movie is also in the works. You know, less so than a live-action Barbie movie, I would love to see A Life in the Dream House. There's an animated show that is very, very smart, but it's just little short segments. I would love seeing more of that. But if they have people writing that, go on to this live-action, that would work just as much for me. But they're working on Hollywood, and Justin Lin has closed the deal to develop, direct, and produce a live-action Hot Wheels movie through his production company, Perfect Storm Entertainment. The Star Trek Beyond director and his company will also be able to co-finance the project if they choose. So I thought that was interesting. Didn't he also work on some of the Fast and Furious franchise? Mm-hmm. If I'm remembering correctly,
yeah, he might have done maybe the last Fast and Furious.
Okay, I didn't remember which ones. I knew his name was associated. I didn't go look and see what his involvement was. I just knew enough that he's involved. I think that gives him lends a little more gravitas to his name with this particular project.
Well, you know what's interesting is that my son and I, we went through the first season of Community.
Okay,
and there's a paintball episode called Modern Warfare.
Okay.
I don't know if you remember.
I've seen one of the paintball episodes.
Yeah, well, the first one that was directed by Justin Lin.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So he's been around, but you know, he just didn't come on, you know, burst onto the scene kind of thing.
So this project has been in development hell for 13 years. They first announced a theatrical adaptation in 2003. And director McGee was attached at that time. Yeah. So we'll see where this goes. I think it's interesting. I like cars, and I like Hot Wheels cars. So this has me interested. Aubrey likes playing with cars, so depending on the rating, this could be something we go see. All right, and that was your last little minor story, right?
No, so, I actually have one more.
Now
I have one.
Now you have one.
Okay, so according to TheWrap.com, here are things that are coming to Netflix in October and leaving Netflix in October.
Okay.
So, and this is more of a highlights kind of thing. It's not an exhaustive list, but coming October 1st is Queen of the Damned, which was the 2002 adaptation of Anne Rice's novel, Queen of the Damned, starring late R&B star Aaliyah and Irish actor Stuart Townsend. Dazed and Confused, one of McConaughey's early movies, and that's a commercial. Unforgiven, Three Kings.
Nice.
David O. Russell's 1999 satirical war comedy Three Kings has come to be defined as the actor's infamous physical altercation, or has become infamous after the director's physical altercation with star George Clooney. So, yeah, I didn't know that. Ferris Bueller's Day Off comes to Netflix. If you're into American Horror Story, American Horror Story Hotel, which is the sixth season, or no, I'm sorry, which is the fifth season. That sixth season is the one that's on right now. Some YouTube personality, Colleen Ballinger, Haters Back Off, comes October 14th. No idea what that is, so moving on. Black Mirror is coming October 21st. Gugu Mbatha-Raw, Mackenzie Davis, and Bryce Dallas Howard are among the actors set to appear in the third season of the British sci-fi anthology series Black Mirror. Kung Fu Panda 3 comes October 26th. And what's leaving? Saturday, or you have until Friday to catch the Back to the Future trilogy on Netflix. We also will be saying goodbye to The Exorcist and seasons 1 to 4 of Heroes. And that's my last news story.
Okay. All right. Okay, well, I'll wrap up my last news story talking about a... Where did it go? Will Smith still can't believe NFL fans blew off concussion. So he says, I thought concussion would have a bigger impact. I knew it would be hard because people love the game, but the science is so overwhelming, and it's something that we really need to take a look at. I thought the people would get behind the mission of that. I was surprised that people were absolutely like, nope, I'm not stopping watching football, so I don't want to know. The movie was well-received, but I didn't ever think it was going to be a huge success. Like, it's just too much of a niche. You know, not that many people are interested in that type of drama. You know, it really is a hardcore drama, and that is not the majority of the movie-going populace in America, in my opinion. So I just think it's funny that he's all like, don't they get it? They need to, you know... Go see it. Let's see. It still has a 61% fresh on the Rotten Tomato meter. It took in almost $50 million, but it's considered to be a disappointment. I remember we talked about this when it came out. I talked with it extensively with other Tony. He did watch the movie. He thought it was very fascinating, very interesting, you know, and really took it to heart what's going on. And is not surprised that, you know, with all the money that the NFL makes, that they would look to bury this type of information and basically ruin the character of the story's life to keep him from disseminating the information. It was a very powerful story, but yeah. One of those things that falls by the wayside.
Yeah, I mean, this might be something that we find that kind of starts a little kindling, and that, you know, in 2 or 3 years it might become more resonant.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I
mean, there's definitely, it's a problem. Yeah. It's definitely a problem.
For sure.
All right, and I'm out of news.
And I am as well.
All right, and that will bring us to the end of this episode of Backseat Box Office. This is a production of BackseatProducers.com, so if you'd like to leave a comment, find other back episodes of this show or Backseat Producers, just go to BackseatProducers.com. Other than that, thank you for listening, and Art, say goodbye.
Goodbye.